James chapter 2. I want to clarify that Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." When God gifts something, it's effective. So if I step over here and I'm trying to work my way to God, instead of walk this balanced beam of faith which produces good works, I've fallen into error. If I step over here or fall over here that I believe and it's ineffective and there isn't anything that follows it, would it be of God? What God gives is effective. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of your own doing, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But, he says in verse 10, we're created, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so I'm asking us and those that might be listening to examine ourselves and say, are the works that are flowing from my faith, which is a God-given gift, consistent with what Scripture says should be there? You believe, he says in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder, or a different translation says that they tremble. The you James is writing to are the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. They're Jews who had placed their faith, faith of some sort, in Jesus, recognizing that he was the Son of God. That's already huge, because most Jews rejected Jesus and his messiahship. But James had concern for his Jewish believing brothers that at least some weren't demonstrating the vital signs of spiritual life. They believed, but the outflow of belief wasn't seen in their lives, or at least some of their lives. Can I remind us of what Josh read last week? Chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Chapter 2, verse 18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. We're walking a very thin line here, but I think it's critical that we do. And that is, when God gives faith, it's effective, and there are good works that are the result of the faith that he gives. I don't do them to get it. They're a result of what God has given. James clarifies that. I think Paul did as well. James presents that a saving faith has spiritual vital signs, the outflowing of spiritual life. But James isn't the only New Testament writer that does that. Jesus did, Peter did, Paul did, John alludes to it also. We're going to end with John. So James doesn't stand alone. This isn't a one-time thing that we read in Scripture. It's critical that we understand the difference between working for the grace that God gives me, that's heresy, or believing and it being ineffective, that's no good either. We have to be careful that we walk the line that Scripture walks. I went to the doctor the other day, just an annual checkup, and the first thing they did was give me a shot. No, that was the second thing they did. I went to the doctor the other day, and the first thing they did is they took my vital signs. Vital signs, and I read a few, vital signs according to the University of Rochester Medical Center are measurements of the body's most basic functions. The main vital signs routinely checked by healthcare providers include your body temperature. They can take that pretty quick these days, and it's supposed to be within a certain range, and if it's higher or lower, we're sick. We understand that. Our pulse rate, the number of times that our heart beats per minute. Our breathing rate, number of times a person breathes per minute. Our blood pressure, the measurement of the pumping of blood into and out of the heart. Oxygen saturation, the balance of oxygen in the blood. The better your vital signs, the more likely you are to be a healthy person. I say the more likely because we've all heard of stories of somebody who went to the doctor, everything was great, and the next thing you know, they wake up dead. And that's no good. You don't wake up dead. The better your vital signs, the more likely you are to be a healthy person. In James chapter 2, verse 19, You know who didn't show vital signs of belief? The demons. And yet it says they believed. But they didn't show spiritual vital signs that would give them life. I remember as a young boy, I don't remember how old I was, 6, 7, 8, something like that. I was laying in a backyard on Orchard in South Kansas City, looking up into the stars at night. Brian Williams was there and my brother was there. I'm 5 years younger than my brother, so I didn't mean anything, but I was listening to everything. That's what little boy, younger boys do. And I remember looking up into the stars and hearing Brian say, "Do you believe in God?" I don't remember what my brother's answer was, but here I am 65 years old, 6 decades later, and I'm still remembering him say, "Do you believe in God?" It seems like in our world, there is a "Do you believe in God?" under the Christian umbrella, maybe say some sort of a sinner's prayer or sign a contract, or "Do you believe in Jesus?" And there's this mentality that with that kind of a childlike response to that much information, then we're safe spiritually. And that's not true. There are ministries to children who almost lead them down that same path and then tell them, "Never, ever, ever doubt what just happened to you, even though you're 5 years old." After all, we're supposed to have a childlike faith, aren't we? And Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, yes, we are supposed to have a childlike faith. But there's an understanding of who Jesus is and the gospel that needs to go along with that. And really quickly, I want to work through James chapter 2, verse 19. He speaks of a clarification of the Godhead. He says here, God is one. You believe that God is one, you do well. The Jews in James' day knew, and the Jews in our day as well, knew Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They resisted the multiple gods of their surrounding neighbor nations, claiming that God is one. And then Jesus showed up on the scene and claimed equality with the Father. "I and my Father are one." And it says in John chapter 5, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Humanly speaking, that's why they ended up taking Jesus' life. But these Jews in James's day, the 12 tribes scattered abroad because of the persecution that they had encountered because they believed on the name of Jesus, they recognized the one God truth and that Jesus was part of one God, even though he came from the Father. They recognized and understood that as their reality. They did pretty good in their Christology, at least in this aspect of it. They recognized the Father and the Son. Doesn't say anything about the Spirit here, but they did pretty good in their Christology. They did okay. But James goes a little further to show them that their understanding of who Jesus was inadequate. It wasn't enough. Just to know the facts of who Jesus was and is isn't the same as believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be a 6-year-old boy laying on the grass looking up into the stars and saying, "I believe in God," doesn't equate salvation. I can believe in something. I can even know some facts about something and yet not have given my life or experienced the grace of God that he's given that results in salvation. Today, there are boys and girls who turn into grandmas and grandpas, some of us are them, who know who Jesus is. We can tell you Bible stories. We can talk about what Jesus did during his earthly life. We can tell you that he's coming again. We know that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are co-equal, triune God, one God. We intellectually know who Jesus is without maybe knowing him. Would that be you? And I hope that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, not for me, but I hope that it causes you to think, I need to examine my faith. And so what I did with this booklet is when it was given to me before, a couple, 2, 3 years ago, I had already read it. I read it again with a heartfelt, "God, search out my life, see if my faith is according to your word," and searched out verses, and I read it again this last week because I recognize the importance of having genuine biblical faith, a gift of God, which results in good works which God ordained before that I should walk in them. James clarifies the Godhead. God is one. James rattles their world with a declaration. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe. Demonic belief seems to not live in the same house, but that's what we have here. Demonic belief. The demonic world also understands at least some aspects of Christology, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They are aware of who God is, something of his power, even something of his plan. We're going to read a verse that'll indicate that. Revelation 12 identifies Satan as the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, while a spiritual being, unseen, he is very real. It also speaks of a third of the host of heaven following him and rebelling against God. These would be the demons. And even that it took place before the fall of man, because he was in the garden tempting as well. Before Revelation was written, James is already aware of this fallen host of angels. They were angels in good standing at one time, and he refers to them as demons. Even the demons believe. They have a belief in the right person of Jesus that should rock the world of the readers of James as well as ours as well. They know who God is. They're aware of the significance of the Son. Daniel 7 speaks of powers of darkness fighting against God's plan for the nations. Satanic powers sought to destroy Jesus at his birth. Satan tempted Jesus after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, "You've heard that the Antichrist is coming," and he is. "So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it's the last hour." That was 2,000 years ago, and it was already the last hour. How much closer to the last hour is it today? It's truth. The demonic spiritual world believes God is one and that the Father and Jesus are co-equal. But they're not saved. They don't produce the works that are necessary or that flow from a God-given grace. The word used for believe here in James 2:19 is the exact same word that's used in John 3:16, and yet it brings out about a completely different result. The demons believe, they don't have everlasting life. And yet in John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world," we could quote it if we wanted to, "that he gave his only son," or "only begotten son, that whosoever believes," same word as in James, "in him should not perish but have eternal life." That would be saving faith, not just saying faith, S-A-Y-I-N-G, but saving faith. Believing in him brings peace between man and God, redemption and forgiveness and eternal life and many other things, rather than an eternal damnation in hell. It's the same word. In one case, you have these incredibly magnificent benefits, but with the other, there's a different reaction. So James rattled their world with a declaration that even the demons believe, and then we see their reaction to the belief that they have. Even the demons believe, and they shudder, or they tremble, or the idea is that they're anxious, and they're just shaking. Because they know who God is, they know something of his power, and they know something of what is to come. They shudder, they tremble, they're anxious, they're concerned. His word is true. They know God is one. He's judged in the past. He will judge in the future. They shudder, tremble with fear. They're aware of an eternal judgment that awaits them. Jesus cast out demons from a demon-possessed man in the Gospels, and this is what they said. So think about this. This is demons talking to Jesus. A conversation is going on here, all right? And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" They knew who he was, they knew the power that he had, and they knew something of a future judgment as well. The 12 tribes scattered abroad. To them, James is saying, these believing demons who don't have a demonstration of the works of faith tremble. What about you who believe and don't have a demonstration of the works of believing faith? Do you have enough spiritual sense to tremble? Might that ought to drive us to God? Should you fear spiritual safety that's been given through a phrase or a little clip? Are you willing to brutally examine your faith before the Lord? James is appealing to his fellow Jewish brothers. His point is that God-given biblical faith is effective. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're His workmanship, God's workmanship. The gift, the grace is a gift of God. We're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So might I go through a spiritually dry time where there are no good works going on? Sure, I can fall into that. But somewhere between a day and a week and a month and a year and now 5 years and now 10 years and now there's no passion for God and it's been 40 years or 50 years, ought to rattle my cage. Amen. It made the demons tremble. A workless, ineffective, passive belief is foreign to the New Testament. Unfortunately, it's not foreign to the gospel that many believe these days. James says, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" And so we're very careful. We don't want to pretend to earn anything of our salvation by any of the works that we do. We wouldn't even care to do that, nor could we if we did care. But if we're walking this beam of faith that produces works, I don't want to fall over here and say, I need to earn my way to get up on this beam by doing something for God. That isn't the way it is. It's by grace are you saved through faith. Nor do I want to have this faith that's empty, that doesn't demonstrate itself in the workmanship that God has created and the good works that He desires that I walk in. That doesn't mean a follower of Christ is perfect or politically correct or never sins. It does mean that there are vital signs of spiritual life which come from biblical faith. Unfortunately, we are so good at saying the right words and being at the right places and dressing the right way that we can look really good, but God has these penetrating eyes and He's able to see all the way down to our soul. And actually the Word of God as well is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it just cuts us right to the reality of our life. The ultimate judge and evaluator is God Himself. Who would I be, or who are you, to look upon somebody else and say you don't have the works that are demonstrated, that should be demonstrated in genuine faith? I can't see your heart. I don't know if you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and just kind of never, ever get there. I can't do that, but God can, and we should consider what the response was of the demons when they recognized God and His power for who He was. They trembled. Will you examine your faith? Will you? An unwillingness or resistance is not a good sign. I can't declare who you are before the Lord, but I could say that an unwillingness to biblically, not Jerry'd, biblically examine my faith, an unwillingness or a resistance to that is not a good look, okay? It's not a good thing before the Lord. And then Jesus, just like He always did, added some troubling words. I need some water. Jesus added some troubling words in Matthew 7. Go there if you like. I counted 7 words at first. These are the first 7. Then I want to add 4 more. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, and that day is a day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, listen to these 7 words that you'd never ever want to hear. I never knew you. Depart from me. People who prophesied and cast out demons and did many, many incredible works. And so the works aspect is there for them, and yet Jesus is saying, I didn't know you. You claim to know me, but I didn't know you. So what had they done? They were on this side, falling into the I work my way into heaven, I work my way into pleasing God's side, and that's not the way it is. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. So they were over here. And then Jesus added something else, 4 other words. You workers of lawlessness, or workers of iniquity. So they prophesied in Jesus' name, you worker of iniquity. They cast out demons in Jesus' name, you worker of iniquity. They did many mighty wonders in Jesus' name, you worker of iniquity. Why would that be a worker of iniquity? because they were seeking to gain God's favor by the works that they did. And he said to them, never knew you. Does he know you? Examine your faith. Don't resist it. Be willing to examine your faith. So where does that lead us? Where does it leave us? God gives us very clear spiritual insight. I'm in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Love John. Love them all. This is how much is 1 John in the Bible, all right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he says this. I write these things, not the whole Bible. I write these. Come on, get here. I write these things. I write these things to you who believe, like the Jews that were scattered abroad who weren't demonstrating good works, or us. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. God doesn't want us wondering, walking around, being bounced from one doctrine to another, or from one thought to another. He gave us John, who wrote five chapters, and within these five chapters, we'll discover things that demonstrate that there's a genuine spiritual life. This is a fantastic test. Now, I could go through and tell you what they are, but I don't want to spoon feed you. I think you should examine yourself. I think you should be willing to read God's word, 1 John specifically, and examine yourself to make sure that you're in the faith. And I hope that you have somebody in your mind that you would like to pass on this 15, 18, 19 minute message so that they might be, that they might also examine themselves to make sure that they're in the faith. It's a critical message. Let me give you just a couple of them. A love for God. Not just saying I love God because I know I'm supposed to. A real, genuine relationship love, willing to sacrifice, appreciate, communicate love for God. A love for others also, not dwelling in sin. I'll stop there. You have to find the others. And if you pass the test, what you walk away with is a spiritual confidence based on God's word, not on who I am, that yes, I am genuinely in the faith according to God's word. That's why I get a little bit nervous, because I'm like, I'm the pastor. I can't fail this test. But you know what? If we fail the test and we recognize we fail the test, that's a good thing, because that would make me want to cry out to God, God, have mercy on me, a semi-righteous, self-righteous believer who genuinely needs the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness. Are you willing to take a test? I hope you are. Cry out to God. If you fail, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price and come to Jesus Christ. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, Peter wrote. For if you practice these things, these qualities, you will never fall. In this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 2, verse 19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. Let's pray together.